This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
Welcome to the Pixel People Podcast, where we go beyond the quest lines to discover the backstories and motivations of our favorite video game NPCs to better understand them and ourselves. I'm Amelia, also known as Fire Rider, and each episode I'm chatting with a special guest about a character they find particularly interesting. Since we're taking a close look at how these characters impact the story, please be aware that spoilers are likely. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Hey, so before we dive in, I just wanted to share with you real quick that I now have a Patreon. I have no plans to include corporate advertising on the show, so if you'd like to support what I'm doing here, I hope you'll check it out. I've got some great rewards at every level, including, for Tier 2 and Tier 3 subscribers, an invitation to record and send me your thoughts about a character I've covered on the show to be included in a future episode. Check it out at patreon.com/firerider, and you can find the link in the show notes. Thanks so much for being a listener. On with the show.
Hey everyone, before we get rolling, I wanted to provide a content warning to let you know that this episode does include mention and brief discussion of a character who takes their own life. Thanks so much for listening, and on with the show.
Welcome to Pixel People. I'm Amelia, aka Fire Rider, and my guest today is an actor as well as a voice actor for a number of Fallout mods and audio dramas. She's also a presenter and an ambassador for Bethesda UK. Letitia, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I'm so excited, especially because we are lining up this show with something very special that you are doing.
We are.
And I'm so thrilled that we get to do both of these in the same week.
So am I.
So, and it all hinges on the character that you have brought today. So, who have you brought today?
So, today I've brought one of my favorite characters from one of my favorite games. I'm going to be talking about Desdemona, the leader of the Railroad faction from Fallout 4.
And as we know, the Railroad is completely neutral, completely morally neutral. There's nothing to talk about here. There's nothing going on with the Railroad that makes them interesting or intriguing in any... I'm totally kidding. Yeah, I can't even get through that with a straight face. My boyfriend laid that one on me this morning, and I was just like, wait, what?
Yes, whenever I encounter another Fallout 4 fan, I always have to ask them, do you have a Geiger counter?
Yeah, mine is in the shop.
Ah. I'll just note down an ally call sign.
I actually have a Railroad sticker on my car. I have the lantern.
Just let everyone know that you're an agent.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is the opposite of what you actually want to do, but it's good for other Fallout fans out there.
Yes. Okay, so why is Desdemona? What catches your eye about Desdemona?
So when I first played Fallout 4, like my very first experience, I had no idea what to expect. Like, I knew nothing about the game whatsoever. All I knew was that it was a survival, like, RPG game set in the post-apocalypse. When I met the Railroad and Desdemona started, you know, talking to me about synth rights and all that kind of stuff, like, I was just immediately on board, like, without question. Mm-hmm. So the Minutemen existed, the Brotherhood did their epic entrance flying over Fort Hagen, and I was like, hey, that's cool. But the Railroad was the first faction that I met that actually made me stop and think and go, yeah, I support this. I'm on board with this idea. And just sort of the way that they're introduced is so sort of dramatic in a way where it's like, please don't shoot me. I want to, you know, find out more about you first. And if we can be friends, that'd be cool. Mm-hmm. And then Deacon just strolls on in like, you're going to like this person, Des, hey, trust me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the best thing because he just has different things to say depending on how far in the game you are. So if you just go straight to Railroad HQ, he's just like, yeah, I've got a good feeling about this one because I've done nothing notable.
And I drag out main quest line for as long as I possibly can. So like by the time I've gotten to the railroad, he's like, okay, this chick is a badass. Yeah. My God. You don't know her? She's like the leader of the Minutemen and they did all this. Yeah. Yeah.
I love just strolling on in there and he's like, Dez, this is the Corsa killer. And I'm like, damn right.
Oh, I haven't done that round yet. That's a good one. Nice. Nice. So I think my experience with the railroad the first time I played was very much the same, where I didn't have a background in Fallout. When I played Fallout 4, I was a newcomer to the series, didn't know what to expect. that worked out. So as I'm being introduced to the various factions, it was the same thing where this one was like, okay, these are the good guys.
Yeah.
And then, and then you get deeper and deeper and deeper in, and you really start having to ask yourself questions about what are you willing to do? Like, are we the good guys?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's so interesting.
Yeah, yeah. You really start sort of weighing up the moral rights and wrongs of each faction. And
yeah,
for me, like, I do see problems with the railroad. Like, by no means are they the perfect the perfect faction anyway is sort of a very subjective notion because it's all down to every person's personal experiences and their beliefs and morals. But to me, they were the faction that, out of all of their beliefs, they were the ones that I supported the most. Like, the Minutemen are seen as the good guys, the ones that want the best for the Commonwealth. But I just feel like the railroad's mission is also something that can be sort of applied to, you know, life today and a lot of things that we have to deal with as a society. And, you know, in a perfect world, I'd like both the Minutemen and the railroad to work together. You can achieve that ending.
Yeah. that's kind of what I usually go for these days. Yeah. Like, I feel like in 4, and you know what, maybe throughout the series, in my opinion, and people are welcome to debate me on this, I feel like the railroad is the most morally complex.
Definitely,
I feel like their mission is so in line with my personal morals and my personal beliefs. You know, I believe that the Synths are enslaved. These are sentient beings who think and feel, and you know, we can debate endlessly as to whether or not they are human, but they are 100% people.
Yeah, they have feelings. And, they have feelings. Right. They have thoughts. They have emotions. Like, they weren't asked to be created by the Institute. They weren't asked to be manufactured, but now they exist with us. They share the same planet that we do, and you know, why should we treat them any differently when it's not their fault? I'm saying fault with air quotes. It's not their fault for being the way that they are.
And then so you know, I wind up 100% you know, on board, which I think is such a funny phrase when we're talking about the railroad, huh? A little joke there. Anyway, but so and then hey, it's a quest name. And but then you're asked to destroy the Prydwen, which is huge, you know. I mean, and I could get behind it if there weren't civilians and children on board.
Yeah, like, I get a lot of people, they sort of label the railroads as, like, these radical terrorists. Like, I get it. And in a sense, I can kind of agree, but my morals are still, like, you know, what they're fighting for is something that I definitely believe. Like, when Desdemona first asked you, like, would you risk your life for a man, even if that man is a synth? And I had Nick Valentine with me at the time. And anyone who's ever watched me play Fallout 4 knows that Nick is my husbando and I would actually die for him. I adore him. So I just was like, yes, no question. So I get their morals. I understand their mission. the approach can be a little bit questionable at times, but the way I see it is that the Brotherhood attacked first. It was a matter of defense.
Yeah. And it's like, that is how I've definitely justified it to myself, is that the Brotherhood brought this on themselves. And they were the ones who chose to bring their young squires aboard, and they should not be engaging in acts of war with children on board and expect the children to essentially be human shields.
Yeah.
At the same time, I guess this is why I'm not a general in the military.
True.
Because I, you know, it's one thing to, you know, debate that kind of heavy decision on a podcast, or to make that kind of decision in a game where, you know, we're talking about, as I call them, pixel people. And, you know, it's like, I still don't want to make pixel people cry because I hate doing that.
Yeah, I still get very emotionally attached to them.
Oh,
I think of them as I would if they were real people. I get way too attached to characters in video games.
Like, look who you're talking to here.
Which I think it kind of helps, like, when I do voice acting stuff, that I think of the character as a person. And
absolutely.
It just immerses me in the story so much more. And then when I am voicing someone, it helps me become that character a lot more as well. And then I start to put myself in their position. And, like, I do that with Fallout as well, because it is a role-playing game, essentially.
Right.
So when I play that game, I am the character, and every terrible decision I make is based off of me, or sort of how I would align that character. Because I actually did a playthrough separately for each faction, and when I had to side with the Institute, physically hurt me to side with them, because I then had to make my character sort of do Institute things, and I was like, because I see the Institute as the villains, I'm just going to make this guy be a really, really horrible person to everyone. But
That's
really struggled with it. I really
yes.
struggled. And I made him really handsome as well, so I felt really bad for making my handsome character evil. I was just like, he's so mean, but look at those eyes. It was so difficult to just go to the railroad and be like, no, I don't want to be friends with you. Like, when Desdemona was angry and was just like, get out, like, oh my gosh, that cut me like a knife. It hurt so much. Like, Claudia's delivery of those lines, like, oh my gosh, it sent chills down my spine. Like, oh, Desdemona is angry, and I don't want to make her angry.
Yeah, I've talked before about how hard that was to actually go in. They're my friends. You're making me kill my friends.
Yeah.
And, and I wound up having to, like, pop a stealth boy and kind of hide in the corner because I didn't want them to know.
Oh, do you want to know what I did, which was stupid? So I used loads of synth relay grenades. And I just, like, yeeted them all into the center room.
Yeah.
And I set up, like, a row of mines along that staircase that
you used
to go into the HQ. So I was like, anyone that survives and tries to chase me down, they have to deal with mines. I refuse to fire a single bullet at any of them. I was like, no.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put synths in there. I'm going to put explosives in there. And then whatever happens, happens. I refused.
Yep. Oh, that was rough. So, okay, so back to Desdemona. I know I'm like, I'll talk about the railroad for hours and hours. They're endlessly fascinating to me. So Desdemona, she's interesting because, well, for a million reasons, but one of the interesting things about her is that we don't know hardly anything about her backstory.
Yeah.
I mean, I scoured the wiki to see if there was anything I was missing, and I was like, nope, she's kind of she turned up one day in the railroad and ascended to leadership, and that's about all we know.
Yeah,
and
she's an enigma, but she's a very intriguing enigma, and
I really wish
we could know more about her. I really do.
I know. I want so much to know her motive. I mean, is it pure altruism? I mean, kudos if it is, you know. Mm. Is she herself a synth? I mean, I guess we can answer that, because if we go and institute run, we can kill her, and I don't think synth chip or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Synth component. So we know that she's not, actually, now that I'm thinking that through.
Yeah, that was actually never a thought that crossed my mind in, like, my bajillion playthroughs of the game.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's just like, yeah, Glory's a synth, and Deacon is just lying. He could be, he couldn't be, who really cares? He's just Deacon, and he magically changes his face, like, whatever. But it's like, who else, though? Who else could be a synth?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Then, yeah, when you kill them all, then you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you found out. I'm sure that more of them are.
In a perfect world. In a perfect world, you don't kill them.
We'll never know. Right. So we know that Glory is not a synth, but our characters don't know that.
Yeah.
And so she, you know, after kind of reading through and piecing together all the pieces that I didn't quite know yet about her. So she takes over the railroad in 2076, so very shortly before the events of Fallout 3.
Yeah.
So, which is where the railroad are introduced.
Yes.
We don't know that we're going to be spending more time with them later.
Yeah, I really liked that touch of, like, because I played a bit of 3 before I got into 4, but, like, mm-hmm. this was years and years mm-hmm. ago before I sort of got into the more, like, darker, gloomy games, because I was still, like, a young teenager, and I liked all my colourful platformers and, like, weird animals and whatever. So I played Fallout 3, but it didn't stick with me. It was just a thing that I experienced. And then when I sort of revisited it again after, you know, playing Fallout 4, I was just like, oh my god, my mind is blown. Like, this is the railroad. This is our first introduction to them.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because, you know, I played them completely out of order. And I think that's such an interesting experience there that, you know, that I got to have that somebody who played them all in perfect order didn't get to have, which is going back and being like, oh,
yeah,
I know where this is going. Yeah. You know, I know what these hints are. I know it's, you know, all these little details that are being dropped. I don't know. It's like reading a novel backwards or something.
Yeah, we know how it all ends first, but how did it begin?
Yeah. So she's taking over, and under her leadership, the railroad absolutely thrives. This is like
their golden age. Queen.
Yes. She is clearly a leader among leaders and has brilliant ideas, knows how to implement them. Yeah. I mean, what a badass, right?
Like, oh my goodness. Sorry, Carrington, but Dez will always have my vote.
Absolutely, absolutely. He can be as salty about that as he likes.
Yeah, but as long as he still heals me when I get hurt, that's okay.
Exactly. even unwilling heals, he still heals. So it's interesting because in all of that, there's still essentially no clues as to who she was before the railroad.
It just sort of implies that she's always been, like, a part of the railroad. Like, that's just her sort of defining trait. So it's like, who was she before that? Like, were her parents part of the railroad?
Oh, interesting question.
Like, was she just sort of a wayward soul just wandering the wastelands, had, like, learn about synths or learn about the railroad and then decided to take it upon herself to meet them? Like, what happened? How did she sort of initiate herself with the faction, and then, you know, how did it progress from there? All we know is that she's been with them for a very long time and was just an utter badass.
Yeah. Well, and I think another thing that really, you know, stood out to me when I was you know, looking up more about her too is her name. They all have their code names. Desmona is presumably also a code name.
Yeah.
And I just the choice of Desdemona as a codename is very interesting to me, because this is not a particularly successful character in literature. This yeah. is a character who is brutally betrayed and then murdered. And
I mean, depending which faction you side with, that could happen.
Yeah, that's true. Oh! See, I'm thinking totally from the perspective of a railroad run.
Yeah.
That didn't even occur to me. In two out of the four options,
that
she will be brutally yeah. betrayed and murdered.
Yeah, and then one of them, she just tells you to skedaddle off to the Minutemen. It's only one of mm-hmm. those four endings where it's like, hey, we're buddies.
Yeah.
So that's one out of four there. That's 25%.
So 75, well, so she's not murdered in 70, but in 75% she will be kind of betrayed, even if it's sort of an accidental betrayal.
Yeah, it depends how you go about your Minuteman run, if you actually, like, again, quote-unquote, betray her. Right. Whenever I do a yeah. Minuteman run, I try not to, and, like, when I get kicked out of the Institute, mm-hmm. then I'm just like, listen, sorry, they're mean people, and I didn't want to work with them anymore.
Couldn't make it work. Yeah. 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 They're asking me to do things I'm really not comfortable with, and I would think that you, out of all people, might understand this.
Yeah, you know, it's not like as soon as I go to the Institute, I would shoot my son, father, son, person in the face just to get booted out, you know? I wouldn't do that. Yeah, it is very tempting, though.
Yeah, to do that. I know there are plenty of people out there who do that. But
yep, he's not
I will
essential.
Play
so
that through to the bitter end.
Yep, you can do that. He does die at that point. He's non-essential.
Right. Good luck getting out at that point.
Yeah. You'll have a literal army on you. And
yeah,
Dez is not happy about that.
No. It's like, this is not why we sent you there.
Yeah, that's what I love about the railroad, just sort of being a secret agent, being all covert and sneaky.
Yeah.
Because I always play as, like, stealthy sniper characters. Like,
me too.
As soon as mm-hmm. I get the ability to put a suppressor on a weapon, I don't care what mm-hmm. weapon it is, I'm just like, you be quiet now.
Yes.
So we can shoot people in the middle of the night and no one will know.
As soon as I can get the deliverer, oh, such a good guy.
It's
such a good gun.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Like my go-to is to get a sniper rifle, like, as soon as I get out of the vault, and then go to Trudy at Drumlin Diner and then slap a suppressor on it, and I'm just like, I'm good to go. So I get a sniper rifle at level 2 and I'm in my element.
Love it.
I like being stealthy, so the secret agent faction.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I've used chalk and made, like, little rail signs. I'm just kind of a nerd. I've done that, like, outside the house and stuff. Like a little safe place thing. Just my little joke to myself.
Just to
nobody else
gets.
Like I did. Don't actually come in here for things. So one of the things I like to you know, ask or find out is, do you feel like you have any qualities common with Desdemona?
Aside from obviously, like, the moral alignment of the railroad's work, I mm-hmm. actually do see quite a few similarities between me and her, and I think that's sort of what drew me to her as a character anyway. And aside from Nick being Husbando, like, she is my favourite character in the entirety of Fallout 4, just because I feel like our personalities align very well, and that if she was a real person, I would like to hope that we would be allies. I wouldn't know if she would use the term friends, because she seems like that kind of person that she would use that word very sort of, you know, strictly. But
yeah.
I would like to call us friends. Like, she's a woman that is quite cautious, and she places her trust in people who earn it.
Yeah.
which is something that I do as well. I have a lot of charisma, but I am very much like, you gotta earn. You gotta earn the trust, okay? She's very strategic. She's very sort of logical in her approaches. And while she does come across as a little bit cold and a bit stern at times, it's obvious mm-hmm. that she does care, you know, not just about the synths, but about her colleagues, her fellow agents. You know, she puts their safety first, and she seems like the sort of person that suppresses a lot of her own emotions, which I guess is why we don't really know about her past, because no one else really does. And then, like, the people that do, like Deacon and Carrington, who have been in the railroad for a very long time as well, it's sort of like they have that trust within each other to sort of keep the past in the past.
Yeah.
And I massively respect that about her, because I kind of do the same, in that I try to keep a lot of my personal things to myself. I don't like to just be like, here's all of these things about my life, blah blah blah. Like, I keep it very sheltered. So I kind of saw myself in her through that, really.
Hey guys, as you know, I'm part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, and I wanted to take a moment to introduce you to a couple of other great Rocket Club shows you'll want to check out.
How does the song Country Roads begin? Almost heaven, West Virginia, right? A lot has changed in Appalachia since the Scorch Plague, and it is far from heaven now. Far From Heaven, a Fallout 76 story, is a rich and immersive audio drama based upon the popular video game. With strong storytelling and fascinating characters from across many familiar factions, Far From Heaven is a podcast fans of the video game will love. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, Amazon, and many other great podcasting platforms. Far From Heaven, a Fallout 76 story, available now.
Do you like League of Legends? Do you like Legends of Runeterra? Do you like anything set in the Runeterran universe? Well, in League of Lore, that is what we shall be discussing. I am Skullhead Soldiers, and this is a podcast about the lore of League of Legends and other properties set in the Runeterran universe. We'll be diving into each region, as well as all the champions that exist in this wonderful, crazy fantasy universe. And I hope to see you all there.
Your bestest girl Rose coming at you from top of the world. Now it's time for your local traffic and weather. Welp, looks like almost everyone's still dead, so traffic is at a standstill. And now a word from our sponsor, because they're totally not bribing me with massive amounts of chems or anything. Seems as the stuffed shirts are back at the White Springs playing games with that total loser Modus. But hey, if that's your thing, whatever. So if all you squares wanted to hear more totally sort of, but maybe not boring stories about rebuilding Appalachia and being all goody two-shoes, definitely not Raiders, check out this thing they call a podcast. The Modus Files, whatever that's supposed to be. On Spotify, iTunes, and wherever else you listen to those things. Double ugh. They're not paying me enough for this. Till later. This is Rose. Raiders rule!
Yeah, I really relate to a lot of that too, and I like that you brought up trust. I think that, you know, considering the railroad kind of as a whole, as a faction, trust is absolutely necessary, but at the same time, it must be so difficult to come by. And she must have been burned so many times.
Yeah.
But yet she still has to put her life in the hands of these people that she surrounded herself with.
Yeah, and like when you sort of do a railroad allied run, and you know, you have to go undercover within the Institute and play all nice with them, and then it gets to that point where Sean is like, "So you've been working with the railroad? I don't like that. Go get rid of them." And then it's like, whenever I see that little green bar pop up that says "Kill Desdemona," I'm just like. How about no?
No, I don't think I will.
Here is the alternative. What if I kill you instead? But whenever that pops up, then I'm just like, well, I'm just going to go tell her that you want me to kill her. And then the fact that she doesn't even like flinch or panic about it, and she's just like, well, I guess we'll just see how this plays out then. It's like, God damn, woman. Like, she's not even afraid of death. And it's like, she just puts that trust in you where it's like, okay, you're told to kill me, but I know you won't. And like, that is one of my favorite scenes in the whole game. And then, like, you do the whole badass, like, take down the Pridwin thing. Like, the first time I did that quest, like, I was just like, oh my God, what is happening? This is just insane. Like, it was crazy. But it was so intense. It felt like an action movie. Like, you know, the Brotherhood infiltrating a railroad. You're defending all of your friends, making sure they're all alive. And then, spoiler for anyone, for some reason, that hasn't played Fallout 4, Glory's death, that was heartbreaking.
Oh my goodness.
And then when you get back to the front of the church, and it's like, okay, we're safe, we're alive. And then Dez is just like, okay, Operation Red Glare, let's go. And it's like, what is this? Okay, we're going to blow up the Pridwin. Okay, we're going to infiltrate the Pridwin and then blow it up from the inside. Okay, this is intense. But that was like my favorite quest in the entire game, because it really felt like the factions feuding against each other, constantly butting heads. And it's like, this is where we make our stand. This is where we say, you don't mess with the railroad. And I love it. And then right after that, it's like, okay, we dealt with them. Now let's go to the big boss. Let's go take down the Institute. And it's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's so funny too, that, as I said, the railroad was my first playthrough for 4. And I have to laugh at how I did the Pridwin part, because it was like, I failed horribly at the quiet infiltration part. So what I wound up having to do was place bombs while getting shot at in like 40 different directions. And I remember the intensity and the of the whole thing.
Mine went similarly, not gonna lie. Let's just say Kells is very, very perceptive, and I had quite low charisma, so I could never quite pass those speech checks. So I thought, here's a new plan. I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna find, like, some charisma gear, like a new outfit and a new hat, and then get some great mentats to get that +5 charisma. Then I'm gonna go back and have a chat with them. So I spent an hour trying to raise up my charisma. I think I raised up a bit too high. Okay. I think I ended up with like 18 charisma when I only needed 11 to like guarantee pass it.
You're like glowing and, as you walk in.
And then I went about it and I was like, hang on, what if I just like sneak around the bottom? And I did the whole thing without being detected at all. So I essentially wasted an hour of charisma prep for just doing the whole thing stealthily. And I was like, okay. Because the thing that annoyed me the most about the first time was Elder Maxon spawn camping me at the ladder on the deck where I had to leave after placing the bombs. He was spawn camping me with his Gatling laser that would just eviscerate me in 0.2 seconds. And I was just like, dude, I can't progress from here.
I remember taking him down. I must have like waited. I don't know what I did that time, but I was able to take him down. I think I was probably wearing power armor, because my first playthrough I was a complete chicken and I just ran around in power armor, and it's like I never use power armor since
I never
then.
Do I refuse. The only times I use power armor is maybe if I go in the glowing sea, but even then sometimes I'm just like, do you know what, YOLO, hazmat suit, let's go. And by the way, I I survive the glowing sea in a hazmat suit, just saying.
There you go.
And the only other time is if I don't have acrobat's armor, so I can just leap off of mass fusion and not do that horrendous elevator ride when you're getting the beryllium agitator. Yes. It's so slow. Other than that, I'm just like, I don't want power armor. I just want to be all sneaky. Leave me alone.
Yes. Yes. See, now I'm accepting this challenge because I have not done the glowing sea yet on this run. So I think no power armor. I think that will be my challenge. I'm going to do it.
My first ever run, I went power armorless, and because I had no idea what to expect from the glowing sea, I literally had everyone saying, "You're going to die." And I was just like, "Oh, watch me." And I just ran through the whole thing like a pro, and I was just like, bam, that's how you do it.
Yeah, because I just did Far Harbor on stream, and I did the captain's dance with no power armor, and I was so proud of myself. Yes. I also took the castle with no power armor. These are the things that I will usually go and get the power armor for, but I was like, we're doing it.
I don't use power armor, but like, I'm doing my first ever survival mode run at the moment, and it's survival, so I don't have any mods to like make anything easier. And I've not even considered the glowing sea. I'm nowhere near getting to that point, but I've not even thought about it. I've not planned that far ahead. I'm just like, I will burn that bridge when I get to it. I'm not even going to cross the bridge when I get to it. I'm just going to set it on fire and then deal with it then.
That is the Fallout way of dealing with things, for sure.
Just burn it and leave it be. Which is what the railroad did with the Prydwen.
Yes. It was a glorious moment, though.
Oh. It is very, very cinematic, just watching it plummet into just an explosion of flames and smoke. Mm-hmm. And if you get the right time of day as well, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Time that sucker for sundown.
Yeah. Like, I like the symbolism of, if I can time it right with Fort Hagen, where the Prydwen arrives at dawn, but then you take it down at dusk.
Yeah.
It's so symbolic and I love it. And that is what I accidentally did on my railroad playthrough.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, they arrived and I just didn't interact with them until I blew them up, and it was great. I didn't want to make friends with them to betray them. Like, that's my one rule. Whatever faction I side with, I don't speak to the other ones unless I have to.
So I have not done that this playthrough. I have made friends with everybody, so I will have to hurt pixels I love, and that always is. But you know, I am trying for a very straightforward Miniman run. So if I'm hoping I can keep everybody playing nicely until the very end.
That's
my ideal ending.
Yeah, there's a way that you can get pretty far with the Brotherhood and the Railroad without having to set them against each other. Like, you can probably do about, I want to say 80% of the Brotherhood's quest line, and then probably about 60-65% of the Railroad quest line.
Yeah.
And like, I accidentally did that on my first playthrough because I wanted to do as much as possible and try to be as neutral as possible. And everyone in chat was just like, "Nope, you're not going to get it on your first run. You're not going to figure it out." And I somehow did. And I was just like, okay, I've got 3 out of 4 factions alive and they're not trying to kill each other. Fantastic.
I win.
Death to the Institute, that's all I wanted.
That's all we need.
Yeah.
So, to kind of circle back around to trust, I think in a lot of ways we could argue that trust is really one of the major themes in Fallout 4 in general.
It is, yeah.
I mean, there's so many awesome themes in that game that are just so fun to dig into and explore. But, you know, I mean, you are asked, this isn't one of those games where you can go through and, you know, become the leader of such and such faction and no other faction blinks an eye. This is, by picking one faction, you destroy others. That is what happens, which is generally my preference. I like there to be consequences to my actions.
And mentioning sort of allying yourself with one faction and the others sort of, you know, not batting an eye, I like in Fallout 4 that in certain instances, they do react to that. So, like, right. Yeah, with the railroad, if you're like trying to be friends with them, but then if you mess it up, then Desdemona's mm-hmm. like, hey, you made friends with the Minutemen. Go and get them to help you. Or if yeah. you haven't spoken to them yet, then she's like, hey, maybe try and speak to the Minutemen, see if they'll help you. So she sort of sends you on a different route depending on what else you've done. And I really like that. It sort of adapts yeah. to who well, else like you're friends that- with.
Yeah, and she's not shooting herself in the foot either. It's like, she still is like, okay, we can still accomplish this goal, just not in the way that
yeah, just
we initially
not with
planned.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't care how the goal is accomplished.
Just
get
it done. Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, that's much stronger leadership than, well, you can't do it with me, so I guess we're not doing it. You know,
yeah, like, she didn't give up, and that's what I love about yeah. her. She is a woman that is determined. If she has a goal in mind, mm-hmm. she will get it done. She will accomplish it.
Yeah, and at the same time, she's not letting her, like, personal pride or her personal ego get in the way of that, which is such a common theme, I think, that we see in other games and other stories. About, you know, people failing because their personal pride
yeah.
got in the way and brought them down. And she's not going to let that happen to her.
Yeah, she definitely has, you know, she has a past. She has some mm-hmm. personal experiences. Like, even on those runs where you do have to unfortunately kill them, like, her last words are, you know, Sam, I'm coming back to you. Who is Sam?
Yeah.
Someone
yeah.
very important to her, someone that she clearly lost and misses. And
yeah.
she doesn't bring that up at all in the entire mm-hmm. game. You only hear about this Sam character when she's dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's very telling, because it's like, that's clearly they were an important part of her past, but she mm-hmm. doesn't let that affect anything else that she does in the game or any of the quests that she sends you on. It's just, okay, I'm dying now, but my love, I will return to you.
Yeah. Oh, Desdemona.
I know. I will be your new love.
We're like big hugs all around.
Yes, I do have a little bit of
Desdemona.
A girl crush on her. Not gonna
that
lie.
Is totally cool. We love all the crushes here.
Yes. So maybe I've got a little bit of a bias because of that as well. But also the railroad are pretty heckin' cool.
They are. They are so, so cool. You get such great stuff for just siding with them and being with
you
them.
You do. Like,
I
ballistic
have,
weave.
Yeah.
Like, that is good stuff.
Yeah.
If you're not power armor build, it's great. Even if you are a power armor build, you can still wear ballistic weave anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I love it. And I love just how it's a very sort of ragtag group of people. Like, there's no sort of synergy between the personalities. They're all just
yeah.
their own unique people. Like, they're not as uniform as the Brotherhood, where it's like, okay,
right.
we're all just, like, soldiers doing our thing, and then we got, like, the smart people, and then we have, like, the big boss people. And then they're
yeah.
not like the Institute, where they're all just evil science nerds. And then they're not the Minutemen that are hanging on by a thread. Like, they are all their own
right.
unique personalities that all bring certain charms to the table. And that's what I love about them, that there's no synergy. They're all just these people,
mm-hmm.
all from different backgrounds, all united by their want for equality between humans and synths.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's such an interesting point, too, because it's like, you have to imagine, like, I mean, you see some of that in Carrington's interactions with people, but it's interesting to imagine, you know, what goes down in Railroad HQ when you're not there, if they're bickering amongst themselves or whatever.
Yeah, I have a lot of headcanons about what goes on there. I really do.
Headcanons Fallout 4? I don't know anything about that.
I just
She's
love
like
making up
sarcasm.
All these little stories of like, oh, I know what they're doing, or they're probably doing this when I'm not there, or whatever. Or like, these people would react to this quest in this way if the game allowed them to.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's one that I'm always... Oh, I know something that I wanted to... When I was looking up, I thought this was really interesting, too. So, when we're going through the Railroad Questline, we are working with Liam Binet, a.k.a. Patriot.
Yes.
And he is... Speaking of trust. that's a big one. And so, he is the son of one of the bigwigs there. And he's quite young, but one of the things that I noticed was when he started working with them, and let me find it here because it jumped out. Okay, yeah. So in 2283, so 4 years before the events of the game, Liam Binet reaches out and introduces himself as Patriot. And when we meet Liam, he's quite young. He is, I'm trying to see if I can find the actual age for how old he is when we meet him. I remember that he is really young.
He is, yeah. Like, the first time I met him, I was just like, I was not expecting you to look like that.
Yeah.
I expected him to be, like, some sort of, like, middle-aged man with, like, grey hair, maybe, like, an epic beard. And it's just like, I am Patriot.
Well, you expect him to be his father.
Yeah.
But
he's just a wee little baby boy.
He is. He's so young. And, okay, so I can't find his actual age. But we do know, and it's made clear to us that he's quite young. But that means he starts 4 years prior to that. So he's probably a teenager when he first reaches out. And I think that that's such an interesting thing and speaks volumes about him, that he's, even though he's been raised in, you know, in the Institute and raised by his father, and who has some very... questionable behaviors as far as synths go, that's like a whole can of worms. And I'm presuming that this is, you know, because of his interactions with his father, and I think the synth's name is Eve, this must color his views on this. So he's so young when he reaches out and wants to help. But to do so, he has to not only betray the trust of his father, he has to trust that somebody outside is going to actually be there to help, which they are, but then he also has to trust that he's not going to be betrayed.
Definitely, yeah. And following on from all of that, actually, it's like at the end of the game, like if you do a railroad run, mm-hmm. and then you go back to the HQ and then you find his corpse mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
Also, this is, like, again, major spoilers for people that are crazy enough to have not done a railroad run. and, like, you find his corpse there. And mm-hmm. you get two different stories here, which mm-hmm. is so interesting. And again, it does play off of the whole theme of trust, not just within the railroad, but within the whole game itself. Because
right.
obviously, you know, the railroad, they go and take down the Institute and blow it up and stop the production of more synths just so they can liberate the ones that already have come into being without having any others being forced into slavery. excuse me. But Liam doesn't like that. He doesn't like the Institute being blown up, because obviously mm-hmm. that's where he's lived, that was his home. Right. So he's very much like, you know, I wanted to help the railroad free the synths, but I didn't want you to go this far. It's like, you've betrayed right. me. And like, yes. all of that gets to him to the point, massive spoiler, where he commits suicide. But then
yeah.
like, Desdemona tells the rest of the railroad he died in action trying to help us complete our right. mission. But then you, the sole survivor, you are the only one that she tells about Liam's suicide. So she mm-hmm. trusts you more than everyone else in the railroad with that secret, so that everyone else there can just believe that he was on their side throughout the whole mission, and what they did was justified, what they did was good, and that everyone in the Institute was bad apart from Patriot. She didn't want to taint that reputation that he had built up as Patriot for the past 4 years. And I think that's just such an interesting moment in the game, that she's just like, hey, Soul Survivor, I have this really important thing to tell you. Like, what? It surprised me the first time, but I was just like, you're telling me and not these people that you've known for years, this important fact about this guy that literally helped make our mission possible in the first place.
Yeah.
And how we have betrayed him, but you don't want them to know that we betrayed him, but we still maintain that trust. And it's just so complex, and I love it. And it just really makes you think about the trust that you've built up with the Railroad, with Patriot, and whether it was all justified or not. So again, it's another sort of, not a morally grey area for the Railroad as a faction, but it's another one of those times where it makes you question their execution of their actions.
Yeah, and I think it also speaks very much to the complexity. And anytime somebody talks about complexity and says, and then immediately says, and I love it, I'm always like, yes. So, but I was going to say, it speaks to the complexity of trust in just in real life, you know, because there are layers and levels of trust, and there can be people that you trust with, you know, a particular type of information, but not other types of information. You know, there can be people, if you're very lucky, that you can trust with everything.
Yeah.
And that's incredibly rare. And if you're in this position of leadership, like Desdemona is, trust can be, she almost has to commoditize trust a little bit, if that makes sense, where it's like she knows that her people look to her and have to have that trust in her, or she can't possibly lead them. But at the same time, she's willing to play with that trust and maybe manipulate that trust a bit to maintain that leadership position, to give people the feeling that they've succeeded, that they've won, without there being this taint on it, which, you know, and Liam taking his own life does taint that victory.
Yeah, I think she wants them to believe that what they did was right, right up until the end, that they shouldn't harbor any guilt of forcing this man to suicide.
Right.
Like, she doesn't want them to have those negative emotions. Like, she will harbor them. She's the one that has that knowledge. But then she confides in you as well, because you, the Soul Survivor, are the one that sort of got you guys and Patriot communicating more and sort of making these big plans to then stop the Institute.
Right. And you've given her so many reasons to trust. And I also wonder if the fact that you have killed Sean at this point, you've killed your own son at this point, gives her that extra nudge that she feels safe trusting you with information. Because what if she trusted you with this information and you turned around and told everybody, hey guys, here's what Desdemona's not telling you? Like, that puts her whole, that puts everything at risk. It puts her entire legacy at risk. It puts her leadership at risk. It puts the Railroad as an organization at risk.
Yeah.
So this is a massive leap of faith that she has to take in you.
Yeah. And
but we have to, yeah.
And you know, circling back to that, actually, when you first go to the Institute and find out that Sean, the leader, is your son, when you go back to Railroad HQ, you tell her and no one else. And it's like, you are trusting her with this big secret of like, hey, my son's a leader of the Institute, but you know, I didn't raise him because he was stolen from me. So technically he's not my son, but only biologically speaking, he is.
Yeah.
And it's like, I kind of feel like that's sort of a repayment of that in a way, where like you've told her this very deep personal thing that you feel guilty about. And then she tells you this very personal thing, so that no one else feels that guilt, but you can understand like her stance on things.
Yeah.
And what really happened. It's like you're sort of each owing each other a truth from the events that have happened in the few months that you've spent working together.
Right. I'm chuckling at few months given how long my playthroughs take.
Okay, could be a few years. Who's to say?
Child, what child?
My first character is currently on a year three in a wasteland.
Amazing. Unfortunately, my first character is languishing on an Xbox I no longer own. Oh, God. Oh, wow. What are you gonna do? Well, thank you so much for bringing the intriguing Desdemona to Pixel People, because she is so fascinating and her faction is such a topic of almost controversy sometimes. And
definitely, whenever I go into someone's chat or whenever I talk on social media about the railroad, and it just sparks this whole debate of who's the best faction, who do I side with, who's right, who's wrong. And it's like, it's all very subjective, so everyone's opinions are essentially right because that's their own opinions. But like, I know the railroad is the faction that has the most sort of discourse around it because of how complex they are. But that's why I love them. Like, of course, I support their morals and their goals. But I just love how complex of a faction they are, how they all have their own sparks as to why they have become a railroad agent, and sort of how that speaks to me as a person. And it's like, I believe in what you're fighting for. Okay, your execution of your plans isn't always the best, but I still side with what you're trying to achieve. And that's why I love
them.
They
feel very real, you know, because I think, you know, we look at, you know, similar factions or organizations, whatever you want to call them, in real life with, you know, wonderful goals. And sometimes it's really hard to accomplish wonderful goals without making a big mess.
Exactly. And
sometimes you gotta burn it down.
Yeah. And you know, the railroad, they are fighting for something that we are currently fighting in the world. They are fighting for equality.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, why can't everybody on this planet be treated equally? And in Fallout 4's case, whether they are human or synth.
Right. Yeah.
You can't tell the difference. Like, you literally can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
So why should any synth be treated differently to any human?
And they don't even know that they're different. Exactly. You know, most of them. And you know, we can certainly debate the ethics of mind wipes for another hour, probably.
we could.
That's a whole thing. but you know, what's done is done. And you look at a paladin dance who has no idea. Yeah, and it's just like, how can you possibly separate them? That doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm sure that there are folks that out there with, you know, very, very complex reasons for why you could separate them, and I'd be very interested in hearing those. But to me, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So.
And this concludes my essay on why I like the railroad. They are a good faction, but they are a flawed faction, but no human is perfect.
Thank you for coming to our TED Talk. So, if anybody would like to continue the conversation about Desdemona or about the railroad, or who wants to tell us both why we're so completely wrong about the railroad or sympathize with them completely, where can they find you?
So you can find me on Twitter at Letitia the Lemon. I basically live on that site. I exist on other social platforms, but that's the one that I'm on all the time. The app is never closed. It's always open.
Woods. Big same.
Always.
And then you have something pretty cool coming up this week. So people who are listening to this episode when it drops... we'll get a chance to check out what you've got going on, which is...
Yes. So on the 19th of August, which is Thursday, I've got a pretty big charity stream planned. It's going to be my first ever endurance stream. I'm not going to call it a 24-hour stream because I don't know if it'll be more or less than 24 hours. It'll probably be more, I'm going to be honest. and I'm going to be raising money for the C3 Foundation, which is a charity that helps treat people with alcohol use disorder. It's something that's very personal to me, and I want to help sort of erase the stigma around alcohol addiction, and I want to also raise awareness of C3 and the methods that they use to help people. And the reason why it's all Fallout related is because the CEO of the C3 Foundation is actually Claudia Christian, who is the voice actress for Desdemona. So not only am I going to be having her on the stream for an interview, for a very in-depth Q&A about her charity and about her work and about her own personal story, I will be doing, throughout the rest of the stream, a Railroad Allied run of Fallout 4 from start to finish. So the stream will finish when we get to blow up the Institute,
which is amazing.
Yes, I'm I'm so excited. When Claudia offered up her time for an interview, I was just like, yes, please.
Yes, immediately. Oh my goodness.
I had to keep that a secret for about 3 months. Yeah, I've been working on this since April, and I've just been like fangirling on my own since then, and I'm just like, I want to tell people, but it's not the time, but I want to tell them. So please be there to A, show Claudia some love, B, yes, tell her how amazing she is, not just as an actress, but as a person. She has overcome, indeed, a lot, and she's a huge inspiration to me, and I adore her. And also just to, you know, keep me company, because I'm going to be playing games for a very long time. And,
yes,
you know,
you are.
If you can donate, then that, yes, would be very much appreciated. Every little bit helps. I'm being ambitious, and I'm hoping to raise a grand. We shall see how that goes. But yeah, even if you can't donate, just spending a little bit of time with us, spreading the word, would mean the world, because... as C3's motto states, options save lives. So let's give more people those options.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you,
everyone,
so much.
I will include the link to the stream in the show notes, so be sure to go follow her. Be sure to stop by on Thursday. Say hi, Claudia, if you get a chance. Support the stream. Support the wonderful work that they're doing. And I will definitely be seeing you on Thursday.
Yes. It's going to be awesome.
Right on. Thank you again. I hope
thank
you have
you.
A wonderful rest of your weekend.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a privilege to be on and get to talk about my favorite faction.
favorite part of what I do.
Thanks for listening to the Pixel People podcast. Check out the show notes for links to the game and characters discussed and to connect with me and my guest. Want to be a guest on the show? There's a link in the show notes for a short form you can fill out, and I'll reach out to you. A huge thank you to my patrons, especially my Tier 2 and 3 patrons, Red and Aperture Flash, and thank you to Elias Ali and Andy Brooks, who created the theme music. You can follow the show on Twitter at Pixel People Pod, and keep up with FireRider on Twitter, Twitch, and Discord. Enjoying the show? Be sure to subscribe. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I'd love it if you could leave a review. It helps more people find the show. See you next time.